हरिः ओम तत्सत्, हरिः ओम तत्सत्, जय गुरु, जय गुरु. इट वॉज परहैप्स इन द फर्स्ट और सेकेंड हाफ ऑफ 1950s दैट आई फर्स्ट वेंट टू कलकत्ता. वेरी शॉर्टली माई गुरुदेव वॉज ब्रॉट होम बाई माई ब्रदर. फ्रॉम देन ऑन आई फाउंड दैट देर वॉज समथिंग लाइक स्पिरिचुअलिटी इन ह्यूमन लाइफ. Because I happened to see my Gurudev living in close quarters in one of the rooms in our flat, I had a sufficient opportunity to see how he was living, moving, speaking, having his food, having his bath. This opportunity which I had is something very, very unique and unparalleled. I was a very religious and a pious boy. I also had a devotional bent of mind. But all these things were quite different from what I saw, which was supposed to be the pinnacle of religious and devotional life. He used to play in harmonium as well as in sitar. That was an additional facet I found in him. From then on, my whole life got focused on my contact with my Baba. Maybe in the course of a year or half, I sought Diksha from him and I took Diksha. This was another turning point in my life. First of all, I was exposed to something called spiritual life in him. Then, in order to have an entry into that life which I found in him, he gave me Diksha. The getting of Diksha marked a very significant and crucial transformation or progress in my life. From then on, I was all for meditational sitting. I used to steal every opportunity I had every day to close the doors and windows and then lie or sit for meditational absorption. This became the focus of my life, and this is what perhaps molded me. I took to this meditation thinking that the spiritual life was something experiential. It was to be focused totally within. That is what I saw him in. He was absolutely sedentary, would not leave the room except for answering the calls of nature and taking bath. Otherwise, he was completely huddling himself in the room. And I found him always standing on his head for many hours in the day. So I understood that there was something called austerity. This austerity was centered within oneself. If at all, it was focused only on the mind and perhaps intelligence. Having seen this, I don't know whether because of that, I took to this Brahmavidya sitting and absorption minimum 2.5 hours a day in 2 times. On holidays, I used to meditate for about 4 hours. But I had told my Baba that I was not interested in reading books and understanding the subject from anywhere. I knew that it was completely experiential. So to experience it in oneself, why should I read books? He said, no, not necessary. Simply do the sadhana. Then, whenever a book is to be read, it will come to you, he said. So I went on intensely pursuing this sadhana in the form of sitting and absorption. I cannot say how long it continued. Maybe about 1.5 years. I started reading the Upanishads and allied literature. This was another turning point in my life. The exposure to Upanishads exposed me to the entire subject as it was prevailing in the Vedic times, as it has undergone either a change or an expansion or an adaptation in the succeeding periods, because the Upanishads were prehistoric. The other books I read were not really prehistoric. I read Bhagavad Gita. I also knew what were these Brahma Sutras. Then a number of Prakarana Grandhas, the biography of Vivekananda, before that the complete works, 8 volumes of Vivekananda, then biography of Ramakrishna Dev, Vivekananda, Sharada Devi. There was a very good book called Rambles in Vedanta by B.R. Rajamayar, that also I read. Now this reading brought an altogether different dimension. While I was meditating and experiencing whatever experiences I had, it was just sitting absorption, sitting absorbed, there was a repetition in the whole procedure. I understood partly from reading books, shastras, and partly from my own inner inspiration that this is not the end of it. There is something called the end of wisdom. It is wisdom, 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 not sitting, absorption. It is wisdom. As wisdom, you know God, you know the self, you know what it is. And like any other knowledge, 2 + 3 = 5, remaining constantly with you, the knowledge of God or the realization of self, that should also remain constant. What is that wonderful point which will give me this kind of a wisdom that lifts me up from sadhana? In other words, as a seeker I was doing sadhana, when will I get siddhi and become a siddha? This became the focus. That was my personal life. I also happened to become a speaker and an exponent very soon. So I had another role, the role of talking about the whole scriptures with experiential authority and also the right to discrete wisdom to explain it properly. This authority and this clarity will not come from any other quarters. I never wanted to depend upon anybody. I have seen my Gurudev. He has given me Diksha. I am doing this sadhana. It should take me to the siddhi and fruition to the extent a person like me will be able to achieve it. And on the strength of all this, I must be able to talk whatever I want. So that was another, in the modern words, a challenge. So sitting and reading, sitting and thinking. Then over the years, I have developed my own method of explaining propositions. What is the practical application of Bhagavad Gita? I am a thinker and my thinking is a research-oriented thinking. I am not thinking as an indulgence. I think in a research-oriented manner. So I wanted to get at the truths the scriptures are saying, and I always had a feeling, as people evolve the scriptures, I must also be able to evolve something like that. It has after all come from a human mind and mouth. So I also have the same mind and mouth. They must have had their realization. I will have my realization. As they spoke, I must also be able to speak. It is not any kind of a pride or ego. It has no place in my life at all. After all these phases, now I am telling people that this is the way to approach. This is the way to approach. This is the summary message I have to give. What is that message? Yesterday I had a discussion with, and I was concluding the discussion saying that, my dear children, can you not talk over this matter between yourselves? Why are you making it so heavy and smoky? Some personal differences will be there. You know, I am the first man perhaps on earth to say that. For quarreling, can you go to the neighbor's house? Quarrel? What is the wrong? If you have some stress and strain, you have to explain it. I used to tell that whatever be the interactions you have with me and the others here, all these will not come to light. There is a finished product that will get formed in you. That alone the people and the outside world will know. So I am happy if in spite of all these things, you blossom well as a seeker in your sadhana. This is what I used to say. And I say this. If some of you quarrel a little bit, show your temper. Sometimes show your temper in front of me, towards me also. Please understand, this Swamiji is one who will never get dislodged or affected. But I may arrive at my own judgment about people. I will come to the conclusion that in my interactions with X or Y, I can only be open and unreserved up to a certain extent. And the other person has got his capacity only up to this level. Therefore, I will be guided by this information. Now, the next point I want to tell you is, my dear children, please do not mind at all these things. I would like you to sit in a place and allow your mind to entertain all kinds of nonsense. Sit in your room, closing your eyes, and then bring all the nonsense that you can think of, either in the way of memory or indulgence or concern for the future. Sometimes openly, without anybody hearing, speak also. I don't like, I want to die. This person, oh, my enemy number one. Anything that you want to say, say and feel, and you tell me. Continue to say, if necessary, for 2 days if you can, without taking food, but you won't be able to do it. You will find all these thoughts and emotions which come forth with a lot of force. After some time, through a process of inner expression, they will become very light, they will subside and leave the mind to what it was before this rush came. What more do you want? All thoughts arise only to subside. All feelings come only to subside. Why don't you facilitate the whole process by this understanding? See, you are wanting to meditate, wanting to read the scriptures. It is good, it's a good pastime. It keeps you in good track. But the actual truth is that you must be able to live with both the world on the one hand and live with your own mind. This is the message I have to give, and this is the truth I have found in our scriptures. If the mind is turbulent, allow it to be turbulent. How long can it be? It will subside. Maybe after a few minutes or an hour, or maybe after a day. But never dislike people. When you get angry with somebody, you may have something to get angry with. But please understand that to be angry and irritable on your part is also something wrong. So I would like you to be angry against your anger. This is one statement I make. I am always angry, angry, angry. I say, get angry with your own angry mood. We should not lose the truth that to be angry is wrong. There may be provocations for it, I agree. Suppose you become angry, okay. Get a few more times angry, I have no objection. But after that, I am angry or I was angry, please don't mind it, we are friends. As you spoke angrily, you should also be able to speak softly, sweetly. I tell you, my dear souls, this is the principle of Purnata, not excluding anything from life, but having a sense of fullness with everything. I don't know whether I have been able to tell you this. I can quote so many verses from our Shastras, which clearly give you this import, message and direction. But I don't know whether people understand it and apply it. Such a wonderful thing. The entire sadhana is life itself, interaction itself. But you should know it is that interaction itself is the sadhana. And then interactional sublimity you gain and remain the monarch of the universe. So my message is, do not mind all these things. But through every instance, you must be able to feel more sublime and more elevated. If you adopt this path, in about 6 months or 1 year, there will be meteoric change in your personality, sadhana, and your seekerhood. Hari Om Tatsat. Jai Guru.